Toilets, the basement toilets are the female toilets, but could we use them as unisex toilets, because it's very difficult to go outside and use the men's toilet because you have to walk all the way back again. So is that all right? Is everybody happy with that?
And there's only one wrong
with
toilet
paper in the toilets. Okay. So, economy. Economical with the toilet.
Okay. Excuse me, Terry, could I just say, and there's one just down the hall through the glass door. If somebody's desperate.
Okay. Would you like to show people where that is in the break then?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
And she might have something else to do. Where are the glass doors?
Oh, right down the hall, so we can't go any further.
So you go turn right and just walk straight.
Yes, right down. Right the way down. And you can't, you'll see the glass door.
So if the
please open it
before you go through. Yeah. So I don't think you need to. Don't want to give somebody something to do during the break. Thanks.
Right.
I'm so nasty.
And one other announcement is that tea and coffee in the break is in the restaurant, the refectory downstairs. You'll find it with us. Soup, is that right?
Yeah, down in the common room.
Down in the common room. Yeah, okay. So, over to you, sister.
Thank you. Thank you. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Which, as I said before, basically means I name the state of awakening. Can you hear me?
Just? I will speak up.
I was living in Sydney many years ago. Actually, I got married in Australia. Strange things happen to you here. I was living in Ultimo in Sydney. Anybody know Sydney? Ultimo? Did you? Wonderful little place, isn't it? I lived right next to some kind of truck facility. A group of us had come from India. I had spent Christmas in a hospital in Delhi with dehydrated. And so we arrived in Ultimo, and we put all our money together, and we arrived the day before everything was going to close down on New Year's. For the New Year's celebration. So the group of us put all our money together and we could rent one house, which was, we thought, unoccupied until we moved in, and in fact it was very well occupied. There were a whole generations of fleas and snails lived in the house. And the snails had the night shift. And the fleas had every shift. Yeah, the cockroaches, of course. I mean, but yeah, but the snails and the fleas were a whole other story. And the front yard had, oh no, that wasn't in Ultimo. Yeah, then we moved to New Zealand after 6 months, and we did a 3-month retreat around Rotorua area, a group of us, and then some people went back to Canada, where most of us came from, and some of us stayed. I moved to Christchurch. With Jimmy, actually, and, you know, 5 or 6 of us as a group moved down to Christchurch, Jimmy and Sally. Some of you know Jimmy Shore. And I rented another marvelous little house there, and the front had been used for parking cars, you know. So it was packed dirt. So I started digging. And just before I left, I had managed to put enough other soil in to make it actually possible for a root to push through. And one of the things I had done was planted nasturtiums. 20 years pass. I'm in New Zealand. I'm doing a teaching tour. I'm going from Auckland now, this whole by car. Every town that there is a center, I'm spending overnight giving a talk to people, and then moving on the next day. One place I've given, on my way to Golden Bay, one place I stopped to give a talk, I'm invited to this couple's beautiful home. They have this garden. It is a superb garden. I just have such a good time walking around this garden. They got these nasturtiums everywhere. She says to me, I said, you know, the nasturtiums are beautiful. She says, well, I moved into that house you lived in Sydney, and there were nasturtiums everywhere. They were the only flowers on the block. She said, I took the seeds. And that's what I do, you know. I have these seeds that I've been given, and they've grown. And I just pass them on, and two or three can make a crop. So out of the kindness of my teachers, I have a few seeds for you today. And maybe in 20 or 30 years, you will give me back such flowers. Because however you grow the garden, it's going to be different than the way I did. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to all of you being my teachers. I'm looking forward to that big time. So I just want you to know that I'm not, you know, sacrificing myself and practicing generosity. This is greed at its best. I love gardens. One of the wonderful things that grow in a garden of my being is the understanding that you can't accept something unless you want it. You all know that, don't you? If you think you should have something, you're probably not going to accept it. It'll just be another layer of cosmetics for a period of time. Isn't that true? You sort of put it on top, you know. You do lip service to it for a while, but then something else, the next fashion comes in and you do it. Isn't that true? It has to be something that actually connects with your heart before you're going to practice it. It has to be something that actually roots a bit. Doesn't it? The problem is that most of us are very lazy about what we want and habituated, don't you think? Would you say you're habituated? Yeah, thank you. How many of you can see how habituated you are about how you try to, thank you, how you try to supply your wants? And one part of you knows you keep growing the same crop, right? And the ground is getting thin in nourishment, right, for that crop, right? Gets a little harder, you get a little duller. So, in Buddhism, particularly in the Tibetan form of Buddhism, they have the antidote to that. And any of you who have had any truck with Tibetan Buddhism have run into this antidote as a little four-line quickie that you just run through really quickly. And then you say, okay, been there, done that, got the T-shirt, and you move on, you know. But no, what you do is you take each one of these little lines and you expand it a bit and you work with it. How do you work with it? Well, you look at it every day for a couple of minutes, and then you look at the next one for a couple of minutes, and then you, every day you take one. Today you read this one, next day you read this one, next day you read this one, next day you read this one. This is the way I find it most useful to use these. They're called the four contemplations, or the four thoughts that turn the mind to spirituality, to something real, to something less than a way to try to keep yourself pat, 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 you know? Keep yourself from being disturbed. I have a little booklet that I wrote because it's... this friend inspired me to the four thoughts, four contemplations which turn the mind to religion. If you want a copy of it, maybe someone would put a piece of paper out on the desk, write your name and your phone number. When I know how many copies you want, I'll get a bunch copied and phone you up and you can get it. Okay? Is that good? What you do is you take one of these little seeds. There are just four of them. Very straightforward. I don't go through a lot of my usual little jokes and hee-haws to try to amuse you. Start right off with them. First one is called The Precious Human Birth. It's about 3, 4, 5, let's see. It's 7 pages. Big print. Then Impermanence, Cause and Effect, and the Dissatisfactory Nature of Samsara. So every day you read one, and then you start again, and you just read one. Do that for 3 months. I should warn you, these thoughts are dangerous. Don't try to understand them when you read them. Just keep reading them and watch what happens in your life. I really should warn you, these thoughts are dangerous. You will change if you do this. That's why they're called the four contemplations, which turn the mind. They change what you want. So, these are seeds that create a garden. Because I can give you very beautiful, very ancient meditation techniques changed slightly to suit a Western mindset. And you can do it for 2 or 3 times and really feel great about it and then remember it for a few years. Oh yeah, I remember when we did that. What was it? That woman from Canada came and we did the... Oh, something, loving kindness or something, was that? You know, that one where we went out in space. Yeah, that was interesting, wasn't it? Do you remember how to do it? No. I've got the tape somewhere. So this is how to prepare the soil. Get it unpacked. Allow yourself to want more than dullness and habit. Allow yourself to think your life is precious. And there are opportunities, and you'd like some seeds to be able to grow. Because you have to do that, because we are all subject to greed, hatred, and delusion. And they are going to grow. And so you have a choice of how you want them to flower. You can't do anything about what you got. You can do everything about what you're going to do with it. You have no power whatsoever to change what you've got. Nothing arises without cause. Nothing arises without cause. Nothing arises without cause. Whatever is present has causes reaching very far back in the past. Are you going to go back in the past? You cannot change what is arising. You can change how you react, and that will change what will arise. The only power you have is in the present. But as we were saying last night, you know, 95% of your time is desiring an experience other than that, which is present. So you got 5% of your time to do something. You know, you could go, oh, it's a hopeless case. Or you could say, okay, 5%. Nasturtiums grow madly from just a few seeds. You don't need a perfect turnover. You just need a few moments. That's the good news. You're a human being. That means there is more wholesomeness than unwholesomeness in your being. That's extremely good news. You're already trustworthy. Do any of you watch that program on television on Thursdays, The Human Animal? And you see it last Thursday after the class? They were doing this thing about trying to see at which point a human being, the brain, develops the ability for a human being to separate themselves from another. So there's a little test to do it. They have this little child come into a room and sit them on a chair. The chair is facing away from a low table that has a cloth over it. Underneath the table is a little train that goes around going woo, woo when they turn it on, right? And they sit the child in the chair with the table covered. When they come in the room, the table's covered. Child walks past the covered table, looks at it, of course, sits the child on the chair facing away. There's a one-way window in front, which a psychologist. Lord Buddha never let me be a psychologist. I promise I won't lie too much anymore. Ah, dear. Oh, well, for our sins. Any psychologists here going to stone me on the way home? I have friends who are psychologists. Some of my best friends are psychologists. Where the psychologist sits with his pad taking notes. How wonderful. And the child sits there, and the psychologist in training brings the little child in and says, now there's a toy for you to play with underneath that cloth. But you just sit here for a moment. And I want it to be a surprise for you, so don't look until I tell you, okay? The kid goes, okay, don't we all as kids, don't we just say, okay? And then the psychologist in training says, oh, but I forgot something in the other room. Takes the cloth on, turns the train on, takes the cloth off, takes the train on. Train is going around going, woo, woo, clackety clack clack clack, woo, woo, right? The kid's sitting there. We're looking away from it. I have to go out of the room. But you won't peek, will you? And you know what? They don't. For a long time, and this pull of wanting to be good, wanting to be wholesome, and the desire of the senses wanting to know. Too young, don't do that, you know? And what are they testing? They're testing when a child can lie to someone. Isn't that wonderful? What a great thing to find out. Isn't it? And how do you do it? By increasing the pressure until isn't that wonderful? I love psychology, don't you? It's so compassionate. Did you know about B.F. Skinner, do you? B.F. Skinner, behavioralism, you know he had a daughter? You know he did most of his tests, he put her in a Skinner box when she was an infant? And, you know, it was behavioralism that the environment has a lot to, you can change the environment. So he raised her on his theories. And when she grew up, she sued him. And won, folks, won. There is something about your actions. You are basically wholesome. Don't put yourself in too much stress. Take time to feel the wholesomeness of your being. You cannot begin to work with your suffering unless you are in touch with the wholesomeness. Did you look at the toy? I mean, they looked in the most wonderful ways, you know. Some of them waited, and then they... and they stayed out of the room until the kid looked. And then... guilt. Terrible. That's a terrible thing to do to a child. Don't you think so? In Buddhism, if something is stolen from you, you're half responsible because you did not feel the need and you put out a temptation that someone who was unable to work with it. So when someone steals from me, I offer it to them. Best thing to do, offer it to them. Whoever you are, wherever you are, I'm sorry I did not somehow do something in the world that alleviated your need. Please accept it as a gift. Period. Or you can be a victim. Oh, they stole my rent money. But they lost their sense of wholesomeness. You still have a place to live. They don't. You have every power of response. Why do we like to be victims? Why do we like to say it's someone else's fault? Because we don't want to feel our own choices. We're afraid of our own choices. Maybe, I don't know. The antidote to fear is loving kindness. You know, in the Christian Bible, it says perfect love. What does it say? Casteth out, you know this? Fear. And it's true, it's true. So everybody stand up and jump up and down until you feel like you're not going to want to do that in a minute. Windmill your arms, kick your toesies, make yourself feel like you're actually, yeah. Shake it, break it, hug it, hug it. Okay, but move your legs too. Knees, move your knees, yeah. And when you feel loosened up, then have a seat. Thank you. Would you like a copy of this? Would you? Can I give this to you? Thank you. If you got a belt, undo it. If you got a top button, undo it. No, here, waist button. Let your belly flop. Feel comfortable? Did you know that once upon a time in your life you were extremely happy? Do you remember that time? Was it because you were looking at something beautiful? Do you remember that time? Hold that memory in your heart. Your heart is just where your ribs divide, at the bottom, your breastbone, heart center, and about an inch and a half in front of the spine. So imagine that you, who is very happy, is just sitting there. Quite comfortably. There are probably lots of times that you were happy. I would think so. Don't you think so? Little moments of beauty. Yeah, just add them all in there. All the different ages and times where just a little flash of calm or joy or happiness came in. Just hold them in your heart. And feel your heart there, the heart center, like there's this little room there. It's about like a marble. One of the big marbles, you know. What do you call them? Huh?
Tombola.
Tombola. Is that right? Tombola? I get tombola. And it's just got all this little, you know, lovely happiness in it. And you say three times, please don't close your eyes. If you close your eyes, you might find that suddenly I'm right over top of you. What will I do? About to bite you, yes. Please don't close your eyes. If you want, you can, you know, put your finger in front of you. Okay? And a little bit lower than your shoulders. Yeah, good. So that your chin is actually naturally slightly tipped in, you see? You don't have to try to make it there. Now draw a circle with your finger. And when you can really see that circle rather than your finger, let your finger drop and just sort of look at that finger. Okay, are you looking at that circle? Look at the circle. Now put all your attention on hearing. Forget your eyes. Let them change their focus or not. But put your focus on your ears. That's how you should hold your eyes. Just relax. Let them be slightly open. I tell you, you have a lot more distraction with your eyes closed than with your eyes opened. It also stops you from thinking, now I'm meditating and then now I'm dealing with them. They are destroying my meditation, you know, all that stuff. So there's your space, and then you just drop it and focus on your ears. And there's that beautiful feeling in your heart, happiness. And you say three times, may I be well and happy. May I be well and happy. Feel that energy in your heart. It's like your engine. May I be well and happy. Now you imagine that energy spreads through your whole body. So you feel your skin, you feel your whole body now as your outline. And you imagine that energy just spreading it through. May I be free of enmity, disease, and grief. Imagine the body just spreading with that feeling of happiness. May I be free from enmity, disease, and grief. Pretend you're looking at yourself from behind yourself. May I be free from enmity, disease, and grief. Now feel your whole skin from the outside like you're a U-balloon. And imagine there's this kind of giggle just tracing the whole outline of your being. And you say, may I be guarded by happiness. Feel the electricity of that joy just about going maybe about an inch out from your body everywhere. May I be guarded by happiness. May I be guarded by happiness. Now back into your heart as I am, that happiness in your heart. We're going to perform a series of globes. Between each globe, we're going to touch back in the heart. The first globe is going to be the size of this room. They say, as I am, feeling your heart, may all beings in a space the size of this room be. And you just do the whole circle of this room like a sphere, the sizes, and imagine yourself in the center of it. All beings. First you do the outline, do a globe around you like that, the space, and then just flood it with that sense of happiness. And when you're flooding it, maybe you become aware of beings, maybe you don't. It doesn't matter. You just know that they're all dwelling in that happiness anyway. Sometimes you're actually aware of people. Sometimes you're aware of angels. Sometimes you're aware of the dust mites living in the corner. as I am. May all beings in a space the size of this room, allow your mind to do the room, be. Let the energy flow well and happy. May they be well and happy. May they be well and happy. As I am, feel your heart. Spread the energy. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, of disease, and of grief. And a giggle around the circumference, as I am, may they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. As I am, back to your heart, may all beings in a space the size of this building be. Establish the space, the outline, the outer circumference of the space. Well and happy. May they be well and happy. May they be well and happy. As I am, may they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. As I am, may they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. Feel free to speak it with me. As I am, back to your heart. May all beings in a space the size of Hobart, whole bay in the center, the whole Hobart, there it is. Make your mind that big, and don't forget it's a globe, so below in the ground, different caverns and crystals and beings who live there, and above all the birds. Be well and happy. May they be well and happy. May they be well and happy. As I am, may they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. Free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. As I am, may they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. As I am, may all beings in a space the size of Tasmania be. There it is, above and below the same amount of space, whole globe there, well and happy. May they be well and happy. May they be well and happy. When your energy is happy, kindly, it stretches 3,000 miles. So you're just practicing, seeing whether you can actually be conscious of that. There's the space. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. That's okay. Don't hold your breath. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. That's right. Don't hold your breath. That's great. Let it come. My goodness, you're a stubborn woman. Open your mouth. Make noise. No, there is nobody in this room who has not cried. Open your mouth. Make noise. Wiggle your toes. Stay where you are. Don't turn your focus to the grief. Open your mouth. Take your glasses down. Take your glasses down. Relax. Feel yourself supported by all of this. Open your mouth. Let yourself be free of the grief. Let it go. Don't fight to keep it down. Open, wiggle your toes. Be in your body. May they be free of enmity, disease. Leave the whole space. Come down. And grief. Keep going. Relax. It's okay. May they be guarded by happiness. Feel yourself in the love and let the grief just go. Can you hear me? Yeah. Let it just go. May they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. Good. And feel that sense of that giggle, the whole space like Tasmania. Maybe sometimes you actually are aware of a couple of animals, a tree. Like I said, maybe an airplane or an angel. Open your mind to it. Don't try to hold one thing down. If you make enough space, there's room. Is that clear? Open, relax. As I am, back to your heart. May all beings in a space the size of Australia stretch above and below the same distance. Be well and happy. May they be well and happy. May they be well and happy. As I am, may they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. Feel the energy flooding that circle, globe. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. There'll probably be one direction you don't feel the energy as much. Just be curious about it. Don't correct it. Play around. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. As I am, may they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. As I am, Okay, now we're going to go past 3,000 miles, so just watch. You have to change gears, so watch what your mind does with this. May all beings in a space the size of the southern hemisphere be aglow, well, and happy. May they be well and happy. May they be well and happy. As I am, may they be free from enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. As I am, may they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. As I am, may all beings in the space the size of Earth be well and happy. May they be well and happy. May they be well and happy. As I am, may they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. As I am, may they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. As I am, may all beings in the space the size of the Earth, Moon, their twin planets dancing in space, be well and happy. May they be well and happy. May they be well and happy. As I am, may they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. As I am, may they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. As I am, may all beings in a space the size of the inner solar system, that's from the sun to the planet, the asteroid belt just between Mars and Jupiter, be well and happy. May they be well and happy. May they be well and happy. As I am, may they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. As I am, may they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. As I am, back to your heart. Now open, may all beings in the space the size of the solar system. Well and happy. May they be well and happy. May they be well and happy. As I am, may they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, guarded by happiness. As I am, again touch your heart. May all beings in a space the size of this arm of the Milky Way galaxy. Well and happy. May they be well and happy. May they be well and happy. As I am, may they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. As I am, may they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. As I am, may all beings in a space the size of this galaxy be. Well and happy. May they be well and happy. May they be well and happy. As I am, may they be free from enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free from enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. As I am, may they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. There's about 20,000 galaxies in a cluster. As I am, may all beings in a space the size of this cluster of galaxies be. Well and happy. May they be well and happy. May they be well and happy. As I am, may they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. As I am, may they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. Just open the boundary totally and say, may there be loving kindness. May there be loving kindness. May there be loving kindness. Just let your mind open as much as it will. If thoughts come, just come back to may there be loving kindness and try to sit in the openness. And then come back to you, as I am. May all beings in a space the size of this cluster of galaxies be. Draw your outer limit again. Well and happy. May they be well and happy. May they be well and happy. As I am, may they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. Free of enmity, disease, and grief. Free of enmity, disease, and grief. As I am, may they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. As I am, may all beings in a space the size of the Milky Way galaxy be well and happy. Well and happy. Well and happy. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. Free of enmity, disease, and grief. Free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. As I am, may all beings in a space the size of this arm of the Milky Way galaxy be well and happy. May they be well and happy. May they be well and happy. As I am, may they be free from enmity, disease, and grief. Free of enmity, disease, and grief. Free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. As I am, may all beings in a space the size of the solar system be well and happy. May they be well and happy. May they be well and happy. As I am, may they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. Free of enmity, disease, and grief. Free of enmity, disease, and grief. As I am, may they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. As I am, may all beings in the space the size of the inner solar system be well and happy. May they be well and happy. May they be well and happy. As I am, may they be free from enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. As I am, may they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. As I am, may all beings in a space the size of the earth moon be well and happy. May they be well and happy. May they be well and happy. As I am, may they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. As I am, may all beings in a space the size of this planet be well and happy. May they be well and happy. May they be well and happy. As I am, may they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. As I am, may they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. As I am, may all beings in a space the size of the southern hemisphere be well and happy. May they be well and happy. May they be well and happy. As I am, may they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. As I am, may they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. As I am, may all beings in a space the size of Australia be well and happy. May they be well and happy. May they be well and happy. As I am, may they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. As I am, may they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. As I am, may all beings in a space the size of Tasmania be well and happy. May they be well and happy. May they be well and happy. As I am, may they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. As I am, may they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. As I am, may all beings in a space the size of Hobart be well and happy. May they be well and happy. May they be well and happy. As I am, may they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. As I am, may they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. As I am, may all beings in the space the size of this building be well and happy. May they be well and happy. May they be well and happy. As I am, may they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. As I am, may they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. As I am, may all beings in a space the size of this room be well and happy. May they be well and happy. May they be well and happy. As I am, may they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. May they be guarded by happiness. May I be well and happy. Well and happy. Well and happy. May I be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May I be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May I be free of enmity, disease, and grief. May I be guarded by happiness. May I be guarded by happiness. May I be guarded by happiness. Yeah. This is the practice of loving kindness by working with space. There are four ways to work with loving kindness. This is an excellent way to work with loving kindness because in cities we tend to lose perspective. So after you've gone into, you know, a cluster of galaxies, it kind of changes the perspective. Did you find it different going out and coming back in? Hmm? Which was easier?
Coming
for you coming like back in? You like coming back? Getting too far out there? Anybody the opposite? Anybody found going out? You like going out more? There is a place where the mind switches gears, where you actually do. You actually switch gears. You go off of where you individually can, and you have to connect to another level of your consciousness. That is, you know, there is a consciousness that moves beyond the sense of self. That is also part of your being. And you actually have to pretend until one day you actually begin to feel it. If you pretend, it's like creating the doorbell that you ring, which something will answer. This is a wonderful exercise. Oh, you bet you're sweet, Biffy. You have to. You know, it's a large part of meditation is pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. A large part of it. Like sometimes you say, may I be well and happy, and this absolute grouch arises in your heart. Not bloody likely. You say, there, I'm well and happy. It's just a trick of the light. Absolutely. And you go through the exercise and you create the space and then you flood it. And you watch going out and coming back in and you watch where your mind takes a total holiday. You know, like, gee, I can't remember whether I did the inner solar system. Gee, that's funny. I was just thinking about meeting Hazel for coffee. Was that this arm of the galaxy? And then whatever you can remember, you just start from there. You don't argue. You don't find fault. You don't say it's impossible. You're teaching yourself to be open to different forms of sensing that you don't use in your city. These senses are there. You're teaching yourself how not to be who you habitually think you are. You're teaching yourself how to be aware of what else you are. When you're not you, who can you be? This is sort of like a career choice that's possible. It wasn't advertised in my high school when they did career days. However, I think it could be, and there'd probably be a lot of takers. Could you actually feel the energy at different times?
Out there in the universe and coming aspect of healing is even knowing that.
It is very powerful. It is very powerful.
Yeah, just knowing, just having that sense of loving kindness being so pervasive and present through the universe. Is that what you said earlier about to know that we are wholesome? So to know that the whole universe is wholesome?
The universe hasn't made a mistake yet.
Really brought up for me a sense sometimes of like narrowing love down to, you know, a relationship.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Objects.
Objects, things like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes being able to have your love. You know, I don't know, you can't.
There's nothing better than perspective, you know?
Okay, I've got a lot of questions.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yes, there is reason. And isn't that curious that you had resistance? And no, never mind the reason. Just be curious. Oh, isn't that curious that when the idea is introduced, I don't like it. So, were you here yesterday? I don't remember seeing you. I talked about three main types of people. How many people had resistance whenever I said a new one? Put your hands right up. Do you see this? Now, don't do that. Everybody put your hands right up. Okay, now, the one who's asking a question, do you see how many people? There's a lot, aren't there? Do you understand that? You're not alone in this. How many people said, oh, gee, I wonder where she's going to go next? Okay, but you did both, but the resistance bothered you most. And how many of you said, oh, yeah, I can imagine that. I remember seeing Star Trek when they... Okay, now what you've got is the first ones are your hate types, second ones are your greed types, and the third are delusion. There are three main reactions to life. One is, oh, don't bother me with that. It's wrong anyway. I can't do that. I don't want to do that detail. Don't invite me in. Your doilies are wrong. You know? Just like that. It's like, no. So a kind of a sense that if you actually get involved with the world, it's just going to bring pain. Like, why are you disturbing my practice of loving kindness with another detail? Shut up. Hate type. There are three main types of reactions to the world from a neurotic point of view. Buddhists only talk about the neuroses, basically, because if it's already working, you don't fix it, right? So you just look at the negative. So that is basically hate type. And you saw approximately a third of the people here had their hands up. Right? It is one way of reacting. You're going to be one of the three, predominantly. So, hate type. And then the greed types are the one that say, oh, goody, goody, somewhere else to go. Which was not your main reaction. Your main reaction was, I just got this tidy and I got to go out again. Are you kidding? But as greed types are saying, oh, this arm of the Milky Way. I wonder if I can do that. Annoying. No, I got to try this. You know, sort of like, oh, yeah, forget that. Let's go to the next one. Oh, forget that. Let's go to the next, right? And coming back sometimes for greed types is real hard. Because they'd rather just keep going. Much more interesting. I mean, if you come back, you're going to end up with yourself. We know that. I'd really rather go pick flowers somewhere else than do my own dishes. Greed type. Hate type doesn't invite anybody in to do their dishes. They do them themselves, right? They have a few. They're placed exactly. Don't move anything in the house of a hate type. Their colors are impeccable. Their sense of design is magnificent. Delusion type just tells a story. Just like, doesn't want to go there. So there's like a squid with ink. just creates a story to sort of mask the whole thing so you don't notice it. So, you know, when I'm saying, may all beings in a space the size of this galaxy being, they're thinking, oh yeah, Babylon 5, that episode when... or whatever. Oh gee, I haven't been to the observatory for a long time. I wonder if they still have the tele... Basically. The point is, your basic reaction to something would be, more often than not, you would be called a hate type from a Buddhist point of view. And it means to say you have a beautiful intelligence. But you probably get stuck on points. That when you approach something, you probably get stuck on a point. Is this true? Not necessarily. Huh? We're not talking. Yeah. We're not talking about when they're purified. We're talking about when they give you problems. So I'm not talking about all the time. Like I said, from a Buddhist point of view, if it's not broken, you don't have to go near it. I'm assuming you know that most of the time you operate quite well, tickety-boo along. Sometimes you get stuck. If you get stuck, it's very helpful to look at whether you're getting stuck from greed, hatred, or delusion. If you're getting stuck from greed, then put a fly in your soup. Because you're going out too much and you're not repulsing yourself back to look here. So, did you see her expression when I said put a fly in your soup? You should have seen it. It was excellent. She was like horrified. She was like horrified. A pure hate type. Ladies and gentlemen, please take a bow. But all the greed types are going, oh, I wonder what that would be like. Does she mean we should eat it? Hate type. Get it right. Huh? The hate types want to get it right, want to do it right. They can see what's wrong. They try to avoid that so they can freeze. So it's hard for hate types sometimes to move. Do you understand? If you are a hate type and you find yourself feeling blocked, give yourself choices. Which one is least painful? I mean, that was really the choice you came from. Which was least painful? Going along with my voice, which was continuously interfering with how you knew it should be done. But, like, I'm the one giving the workshop, you know. So, to be polite, you sort of had to sit there and go along, you know. And then it got interesting, and then I did it again, you know. So, like, giving yourself choices. Isn't that interesting? That's what a hate type has to do, give themselves choices. And they should be pretty. They should be lovely choices. There should be something in it that's worth going for. Because you're going to see what's wrong with both of them. So you pick the one that's least dissatisfactory. This is what you do when you're stuck as a hate type. And that's why I'm talking about it. Not because we're that all the time, but it's nice to know what you do to get out of that. You know, this is like your homeopathic mind medicine. This is what you do in the world. Or if you have a friend who's a hate type who's really caught, you know, you give them a few little things. Greed type, you introduce something that will break their obsession. They only see the beauty and they're busy stuffing because they're trying to fill something in here. So give them something that makes them chew a little slower or eat around it, you know. Not just... That gives them a sense of being able to feel the desire and knowing they don't just have to go for the delicious. But, you know, you don't die of not feeling happy. And a lot of grief usually with greed types. Huh? And delusion type, join their story. I mean, it doesn't matter what you do with a delusion type. So join their story, you know, go along for the ride. Every once in a while, remind them it's a story. They'll make a story out of that too. But eventually, you know, something will trickle through. You know, there was a woman, a Tibetan woman, who had twins, and one was a greed type and one was a hate type. It was her 7th birthday, and she wanted to give them a really nice present. So she went to her local lama and said, you know, like, what should I get these kids to help them on their way? And he, you know, did the horoscope and all that and checked it out, and then it came down to the fact that one was a greed type and a hate type. So he said, well, for the greed type, get them something that won't really encourage their greed. I mean, not so pleasant. For the hate type, you know, get them lots of really beautiful things, a whole bunch of them, though, so they can make choices. So it's their birthday, and so she invites them into the room where they're going to get this present. You realize this is one of my bad jokes, don't you? And so she, any reflection of truth in this is purely coincidental. So she invites them into the room, but then just when they come in, she has to leave. You know, she has to answer the telephone or whatever it is they have in Tibet these days. And she comes back in the room after they've already got their gifts. And the greed type is there with this huge bag of horse shit, going, I know there's a pony in here somewhere. And the hate type is surrounded by all these beautiful gifts, all precisely wrapped. Everyone is like exquisite, saying, so what's the trick? So a lot depends on presentation. You have to actually love, have some sense of interest and affection. You have to see something beautiful in the person that you're doing these things with. You don't just take it like a formula, you know, like a psychologist. Oh, got another one in, yes! So stamp people on. Great time, yeah. Put flies in their soup, hate type, yeah. Give them lots of good things. Because, I mean, if you're going to do that, I'll tell you, I can masquerade as a hate type really well. In these 2 days, we're going to basically go through quickie little explorations of major works in the Buddhist system, of what are called these are the mind states. They're boundless mind states. That means to say they take the mind to infinity. You actually can experience formless states by practicing these. Today we're doing loving kindness, this morning compassion, this afternoon, tomorrow we'll do sympathetic joy, and then equanimity. These are the 4 great states of mind that are useful to cultivate. They are considered to be the true emotional states when you're not caught by greed, hatred, delusion, pride, and jealousy. These are the states that your mind most naturally moves in. They perform the 4 activities of peace, prosperity, seduction, and wrath, which are the 4 best ways of moving the elements in time and space. I beg your who, what? Seduction and wrath. Yeah, doesn't that sound good? We'll touch on that tomorrow. So, when you begin with zeal. This is from the Visuddhimagga. I love this. You begin doing any of these 4 practices with zeal. That is to say, not with accomplishment, but with the desire to accomplish. You don't look for the result in the beginning. You have the desire. You have the aspiration. You would like yourself to be happy. You would like that to extend. You begin with zeal, not with perfection.
Not with
perfection. You begin because you want to, not because it's true. That's how you begin. Isn't that beautiful? How do you start these exercises? You start them with zeal. How do you get zeal? Well, just by living, or, you know, write your name on the list and I'll give you a copy of that book, A 4 Thoughts to Turn the Mind. They'll make a little zeal for you, I'll tell you that. The middle is called the middle practice. The beginning of the practice of these four is zeal. The middle practice is the suppression of the hindrances. The things, the mind states that hinder your clear understanding, that stop you from compassionate, non-clinging awareness, that stop you from seeing things as they are, with a sense of love and kindliness, that stop you from being effective in your life. Okay. So when the hindrances are actually suppressed by these practices, you actually get an idea of what is possible. You're not wondering which is the right path or, you know, which teacher. You actually get an idea of, oh, this is really the truth. Then whatever flavor it's been presented as, whatever guru comes to town, you'll be able to discern truth. So your teacher will be truth, not a person. You don't want to have a person for a teacher. You want truth. People only live, you know, less than 100 years, most of them. I mean, why? Truth is truth. Always and forever. Now, every religion has that statement. So you yourself have to find that part of your own being that knows what truth is, that responds to that. One of the ways to do that is through these four practices. Temporarily suppress, in the middle, by doing these practices, the hindrances are temporarily suppressed. The hindrances are the hindrances to knowing truth. And so that for a moment you have a taste of who you really are. Then, you know, it's clear. Then you're not sailing in a fog with no navigation tools. Is that clear? And the end is total absorption. That is to say, knowing the boundless mind. So that then the finite and the infinite can dance together through the Sambhogakaya bliss. So this is a meditation on loving kindness through space. You've just done it. Now what you're going to do is you're going to go for a walk, and then when you come back, you're going to have tea and coffee and etc. You can walk wherever you want to. I'm asking you one thing. Please don't talk to each other right now. Wait until you come back and have tea. When you're walking, this is what you're going to say. I'll tell you why you're going to say this first, because the whole practice of loving kindness, when it is completed properly, when it comes to its fruition, becomes awareness of boundless beauty. Gee, that's too bad, isn't it? Because love creates beauty. Or beauty is in the eye of the beholder, whatever way you want to say it. So the meditation on loving kindness, when it is taken to its full extent, becomes boundless beauty. This is the classical Buddhist teaching. So this is the meditation you're going to do. I'm stealing this absolutely from a Navajo tradition. As you're walking, you're going to say, now I walk in beauty. And imagine yourself as far out as the solar system if you want. Here on this planet, walking in beauty. And then you think, beauty is before me. Say that. You better write this down. And imagine that your whole future continues to open into beauty. And you say, beauty is behind me. And imagine that your whole past is supporting you with beauty. Now I walk in beauty. Beauty is before me, beauty is behind me. Now I walk in beauty. Beauty is before me, beauty is behind me. So you just keep working with that. You do that, come back here in half an hour. That will mean it's like 20 to noon. We'll have tea, and then we'll do some more personal work. And this is more classical. Okay? So go for a walk. Please don't talk. So is that interesting? How many of you actually walked for more than, say, 10 minutes before you came back for tea? Thank you.
I thought you'd ask.
How many of you hit 20? How many of you hit 20 minutes before you came back for tea? How about 30? One or two, yeah. So next time what I'll do for tomorrow for the exercise, I'll ask you to walk for twice as long, and then you'll actually walk for as long as you really need to in order to see why you're doing the exercise. How's that? Am I accommodating myself well for you? Does that make sense to you?
We know this is what you want to do then, so we'll think of something else.
Do you have any questions, answers, comments, or complaints about...